This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
To bring us all the latest Yankee news, we bring in Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic. BK, how are you?
I'm doing better than that NBA All-Star game you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't think that can get worse. Somehow they made it worse.
Yeah, just when you think. It's almost like they don't even like their game with what they do to it. And it really has gotten pitiful. The whole broadcast is pitiful.
Yeah, the players make so much money, they don't care. They just laugh at it and think it's a joke. And they say it's not worth their time because they already make so much money. You can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. There's no recourse. They have to get some pride. They have to get some pride in playing an All-Star game, but they never will because no one wants to be too cool to be the guy who's actually trying in a room full of millionaires.
Yeah, and for baseball, the thing I always think about baseball's All-Star game is, I mean, we have, the NFL went to flag football. Like, they gave up, and that's fine, and that works, and that's them. And the NHL right now is offering us something in the Four Nations tournament, which is a thing of beauty, and just an incredible spectacle, and couldn't be more fun. And the players playing with incredible pride. Baseball is fascinating in that, on the one hand, you have pitcher usage takes it away from it ever being close to being a real game. But I don't know what you think. I guess with baseball, I always feel like because it is a team game but a series of one-on-one conflicts, that there is a sense of pride in that you don't want to be embarrassed in that one-on-one conflict. What do you think about baseball and their All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, the risk of injury technically probably is a little bit lower too.
Yep.
In an exhibition baseball game than an exhibition basketball game. Because, things can go more wrong on a court when you're playing at 80% probably than on a baseball field. I'm sure baseball players have pushed back at me on that, but I don't think I'm wrong. But I think you're right, though, in that it's so singular. It's pitcher-hitter. You got two guys there, and the pitcher's got to throw the ball, and the hitter's got to hit the ball. And if the pitcher throws at 80%, that professional hitter is hitting the ball out at 600 feet.
Right.
And if that hitter decides to only swing at 80% or try at 80%, he's going to get his doors blown off. So you kind of have to, because it's so one-on-one. But, I mean, you don't see guys stealing bases. You don't see guys laying out for balls in the All-Star game. There's too much money. I'm not saying they make too much money, because I do think they deserve to get everything they get because they are the product, the players. But they don't care. They just don't care. And they're not going to care. because what's in it for them? Not millions of dollars. They already make that.
Yeah. The sage speaketh. Brendan Cuddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that might be a sore subject for these pro athletes to hear. You know, stop talking about how much money I make. But like, whatever, man. Good for you.
Part of it. We're not going to solve it now, but I guess if I really was. It depends on where I am with the game. If I'm LeBron James and I'm close to the end, and then it depends on what I think about my legacy, maybe. If I'm Anthony Edwards and I'm a younger player, I know it's hard for players to see, but if I was the Players Association, I do think they should be thinking about the brand and the good of the game long term, because in terms of that money, and you're right, look, once you've made and signed a $100 million contract, maybe you never care. But for the future, if I were the Players Association, you do want to market the thing long-term for the good of the game. It is an opportunity and a missed opportunity. But all right, let's switch to the Yankees. People tuned in. They want to know about some baseball. And, well, let's start with for the Yankees. There are a lot of interesting and positive storylines for a team that made it to the World Series last year. Did not re-sign Juan Soto, went to the famous pivot, and brought in a lot of players, and right now, at least on paper, look to be, in my opinion, the best team in the American League. With that said, so, today's news, Giancarlo Stanton and his tennis elbows. What can you tell us about a player that is really important to a Yankee team that just lost Juan Soto from last year's lineup?
I can tell you that I don't know how you get tennis elbows in both your elbows. Like, I don't know how that happens. Now, we'll talk to Giancarlo tomorrow, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we'll hear about what happened or how it happened or why he thinks it happened. But I don't know how that happens. Like, I don't know if that's from benching too heavy, whether it's with a straight bar. I don't know if that's doing, like, the rope exercise where you're, like, just King Kongin to ropes in the gym. I don't know what happened there. So, you know, Yankees fans would be very interested to hear what happened. But you know, in terms of
what's the timing now in terms of the start of the season and how long this may cost him in terms of time?
Yeah, my guess is that he's ready for opening day.
Okay.
Right, because he was dealing with this late last season. He got through the playoffs with it, and he was a beast in the playoffs. He was incredible.
Yep.
And he's prideful, and you know he's someone who plays through injury. He's someone who fights, and he might be just saying like, listen, this is barking on me right now. It's mid February. Why am I pushing it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Giancarlo Stanton. Like, I had a 6-week IL stint a couple of years ago, and I did one rehab game, mm-hmm. and I came back immediately after that. So he might feel like he's good. So mm-hmm. my guess is that's the deal, and he'll be fine. Now, do I know that? I don't know, but if he can't be back, the Yankees are a little bit of trouble, right? Because who's the DH? Well, okay, maybe you move Aaron Judge to DH to take a little bit of the wear and tear off his knees. All right, then who's playing right field or center field? Is it Trent Grisham? He's hurt right now too.
Yep.
Where do you go? It opens up a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah, and look, we saw it in the postseason, but certainly even in the regular season, Aaron Boone referred to, and he's right, some of it's the physical size of him, his track record, but Giancarlo Stanton is a presence in the lineup, and without Juan Soto, yeah, that is the, you know, the worry with this team is, will the lineup be good enough if the goal is to, you know, beat the Dodgers and win a World Series? The other storyline that, of course, is a big one right now, a second big storyline, Marcus Stroman. And so as you look at this, Well, first of all, how do you see Marcus Stroman's situation being resolved? Do you believe the Yankees will trade him? Will they keep him? And if they are trading him, is there a trade market? How much of the contract will they have to eat? You know, break down Marcus Stroman for us.
All right. Like, this is something we've been talking about for months now when it comes to Marcus. So nothing changes. The Yankees, all their starting pitchers are healthy, including Marcus. And he is making $18 million this year. And the Yankees, who are loath to go over that final competitive balance tax, their payroll about $302 million right now, they want to shed salaries in some way. And the best way to do that is by moving some money away by getting rid of their sixth starter who's making a lot of money. It makes sense. It's financial. It makes sense. It's not personal against Marcus. So I see it in them somehow trading him and paying down a good amount of the salary while saving some bucks on the back end, and then using that money to supplement the roster somewhere else at some point, maybe at third base. But it's tricky, right? Because we talk about what's the market. Well, clearly there's not that great of a market, because otherwise he'd be gone. Otherwise they would have made this move. But the Yankees have not found the market to their liking, and they'll hold on to him until they can get the deal they think works for them. They're not going to get desperate, right? Now, you will have an interesting situation if the Yankees go through spring training, all five starters are healthy, and Marcus refuses to pitch out of the bullpen. Then what? You know, then you're caught in a stare down. But you worry about that when it gets there. Look, God forbid, no one wants any injuries, but maybe so-and-so on the Yankees in their starting rotation gets hurt tomorrow, and now Marcus is your fifth starter, and you're glad you didn't trade Marcus. So it's tough. It's really tough to say. But then again, one more thing, Lori. Maybe they still wish they could trade him, and they use Will Warren as their fifth starter.
Right.
Or they use JT Brubaker or Carlos Carrasco, mm-hmm. cheaper options. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's that too. There's so much that goes into it, and it's stuff that I know that I've beaten the heck out of on The Athletic. It's just nothing's changed on that front.
Is this Marcus Stroman year two, and the Yankees want to get out of this contract, and it's very public and a little uncomfortable? Is this an indictment on Brian Cashman, who, didn't he go against his own judgment in signing Stroman last year? He was on record as not trading for him previously because he thought that he was no better than a bullpen arm come postseason time.
Yeah, I mean, look, but the year before, Stroman was an all-star, you know? When the Yankees signed him last offseason, in 2023, first half Marcus Stroman was an all-star. So the Yankees were hoping they would see that again. And they were hoping they would see a guy who's energized by pitching for his childhood favorite team and being close to home. And, you know, for the first half, there were stretches where Marcus did pitch well last year. And he was, you know, the Yankees maintained that he was let down by their own defense a good amount last year. I haven't dived deep enough into that because, you know, the metrics that are publicly available aren't really too supportive of that. But, you know, I don't think they saw it going this way. I think they took a chance and they thought they would get more, and they didn't. And they, you know, with Soto gone, they had to switch the whole methodology and go for starting pitching and go for better defense. And that kind of pushes Marcus to the back of the line.
Talking to Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic about the Yankees. And when you make a mistake and it doesn't go as well as you want, and you're sitting there with an $18 million number six pitcher, then if you have a budget, which I think a lot of Yankee fans wish Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees didn't have as firm a budget. But if you do, then everything is linked. And that leads us to third base. And, you know, we've seen the rumors out there, Nolan Arenado, potential trade or whatever. What are you hearing there? And, well, let's just start. Do you think that plan A for the Yankees right now, the stated plan A of DJ LeMahieu and maybe Cabrera, Peraza, is that a good enough plan A for the Yankees?
No, I don't. I think that, unfortunately, you've seen what DJ's attempted to give you the last couple of years, yep. And he's just so injury prone. Mm-hmm. And likely, because all of these injuries happen to his lower half in ways that, like, I'm not going to say are physically deforming, but are really just probably fundamentally changing his swing.
And it feel chronic, like there's a chronic situation, perpetual happening there.
Yeah, like he never had surgery on that toe a few years ago, mm-hmm. or a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is that still an issue? Does that, combined with the foul ball off his leg last year, kind of all meld into this mix of pain and anguish for mm-hmm. him? Like, you know, can he get off that swing that he used to get off at age 36, almost 37? Lori, I'm 37. My back hurts right now. You know, I don't know. It's who knows? I don't think so. I think DJ is a hell of a competitor. I think he's going to work his butt off to try to get in good shape and be ready for the season. And I don't bet it. I'm not betting against him, but just the recent history says that, like, players at his age don't make it happen. And I think that the Yankees know that, and they're giving the veteran, respected guy who's honestly a great dude a chance to prove him wrong until they have to go make a move elsewhere. That's my read on it.
And so are you expecting a Nolan Arenado trade, and would that be a good move for the Yankees given Arenado's age and contract?
No and no. I don't think that the Yankees want to take on 3 years of Nolan Arenado, who is still a really good third baseman, but like definitely sliding a little bit in terms of his defensive ability. And he may not really even be that much of a league average bat anymore. And then be stuck with that deal for 3 years. You know, we're talking about, like, Yankees are talking about cutting DJ now with 2 years and 30 yep. million left on his deal. You trade for Arenado, like, it's not outside the realm of possibility that you're talking about the same thing in terms of cutting dead money in a year and a half with him, right? We've seen it happen too often with Hicks and Donaldson and Allenberry, and, you know, now they're talking about it with DJ, you know? So no, I don't think they're going to trade for Arenado, and I don't think the Cardinals have, you know, any interest in trading for Marcus Stroman. And that's the guy that would make the most sense in a deal like that. So I know, I don't see it happening. I don't see Nolan Arenado in a Yankees uniform, but I've never gotten the impression from the Yankees that they thought that was a priority for them.
Well, unfortunately, I have to let you go because I have a name that I think would be fun, but that'll have to be a cliffhanger that I'll tell to my listeners coming
Ooh.
Up. I know.
All right.